All right, good evening, folks. This is Fortune Edwards of the Vision Hub, and I welcome you guys to tonight's episode of The Imprint. Welcome everybody to tonight's episode of The Imprint. Tonight is going to be very, very, very interesting. Yeah, quickly, before we start off, new members are welcome. The Imprint is basically a podcast where we discuss issues, you know, that surround finance, business, and investment. Yeah. And it holds every Thursday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. live on Instagram. But you can always, if you miss any episode of the podcast, you can always catch us on any of our recorded section, always in the media section of the Telegram group. All right. So myself and other experts in this finance, business, and investment field will be exploring the world, you know, of finance and business together, discussing different topics. We started with the money mindset and to the most interesting topic of some people, relationship currency, and they'll move on to purpose and then process, then know your worth. And last week, very interesting, EY, an economist, discussed on the topic staying above the water. Basically, he shared valuable financial tips, economical tips that you can, you know, make good use of during economic downtimes and how we can come out of those kind of downtimes. And it was very, very interactive, fantastic section. It lasted for over 1 minute, about about 1 hour 30 minutes. And you know, it was so interactive that people did not even want to leave the section. Yeah. But tonight, we'll be having Yadi Victor, Diamond FX, on tonight's episode. Before I even go to, you know, the formal introduction of Diamond, Diamond has been a very, very fantastic colleague. In fact, he's more than a colleague right now. He's like a brother. You know, myself and Diamond, we've done a lot together, like a whole lot. I think Diamond, and we've never met, in person. We've never met physically, but the way we discuss, you think we've met, honestly, we hold meetings for 2 hours, 3 hours. You know, sometimes the meeting doesn't even want to end. Yeah, we discuss so many relevant issues, some irrelevant issues too, obviously. Drag ourselves, cruise, and all of that. But Diamond is very, very intelligent and smart. He's a graduate of, I think, biochemistry. He's biochemistry. Currently serving, with NYSC. Diamond is a lover of finance, a forex and crypto lord, trader, fundamental analyst, a whole lot, an investor, a guru. His interest lies basically in the world of finance and investment, And Diamond has been a very, 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 very great source of influence to me and my whole team. Yeah, my guys are here too, my teammates are here, and a whole lot. Diamond has been fantastic, just fantastic. Diamond has really, really helped me, such that sometimes it just takes off some unnecessary stress from my neck. Yeah, Diamond is a very, very good fundamental analyst. Most of these coins that you guys see, I call on my status here. A good number of them are from Diamond. Yeah, Diamond is a very, very, very good fundamental analyst. Most of them are from Diamond. I have a lot to say about Diamond. I can go on and on and on talking for the next 10 minutes here. And things about Diamond never come to end. Diamond is a very fun guy. Yeah. Sometimes in our team, you know, the whole group will be boring. Diamond just comes out, drags everybody out, you know, different crews. And from there, we start making so much sense, sharing information, all of that. Diamond is fantastic. He's fantastic. And it's awesome to have him here. So tonight, we'll be discussing a very, very controversial topic, education. Okay, there are a lot of people walk about with this school and scam. Okay, in my opinion, before Diamond even comes up, in my opinion, I don't think education is all about school, There's way more than education. There's way more than school. School, education is way beyond school, basically, it's way beyond school. Diamond talking about that and relating it to finance. And all of that, so I think it's time to welcome Diamond, Yadi Victor. Welcome to tonight's episode. If you can hear me, please unmute your mic while we hear from, you know, an epitome of knowledge.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Good evening, everyone. Can you guys hear me?
Definitely. Okay. Loud and clear.
Okay.
Diamond, just a second. Steven, please hold on, I'll note that you want to speak now. Please, for you guys that are new to this podcast, yeah, we allow the speaker talk for about 30 to 45 minutes, and towards the end, it's all interaction. Yeah, it's all interaction. Then you can now come up, bring your ideas and everything. So it's going to be very interactive. Yeah. So Stephen, just chill out here. Yeah. Towards the end, when it's time for the talk and interaction and all that, you would speak. Yeah. Cheers. So Damon, I apologize for that. Please go ahead.
Okay. I don't know. I think I've forgotten all I wanted to say. This very long introduction. Anyway, good evening, everyone. Thank you very much, Fortune, for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. I've held online sessions before, yes, a few, but I think mostly the ones organized by either me or the team. This is the first time I'm scheduled to be a guest speaker, and I really, really appreciate the gesture. Thank you very much. Yeah, so before I go into today's discussion, we're talking about education and investment. I would like to say that this year basically was a very, very good year for learning. And when Fortune said, because I didn't see it coming this early, since it's kind of early, me speaking on the podcast. When he said I was going to handle today's show, today's episode, I started thinking, well, what could I talk about that is not directly investment and finance yet, because we are kind of in like the development phases of this podcast. Definitely. So I was, after a long time, I was able to say, okay, I think I would like to talk about something that should be very educative, and I think education in itself is very, very educative as an experience. So that was why I chose this topic. Previously, we've considered really, really nice topics: the money mindset, relationship currency, purpose, process, knowing your worth, and my favorite, even above what I'm doing today, staying above the water. Right. So talking about education as an investment might come as a little bit boring on the side, because people have generally tagged education, probably in this part of the world, because I've not been outside the country before, so I can't say, as scam, as not necessarily worth it in that sense. So, and like Ayo said in the last session, he also said that statement in itself is a scam. So what is education and what is investment, right? We would not be talking about people who say it's scam or not scam. So basically, what's education and what's investment? Education, I went through the net, and I would like to say that I really don't like using notes. I prefer talking from my head. But seeing how Ayo and Fortune have handled previous sessions, I was forced to make notes, so I'll be using notes today for the first time in a very, very long time, probably since my defense at school. So, education, from why? So there are various definitions you can bring out from education, but I picked five that really interested me from the net. The first one says, it's the process of receiving or giving systematic instruction, especially at school or university, basically any institution of learning. Thus, they say education is the process of receiving or giving systematic instruction. Very important, these words. The second one says it's a body of knowledge acquired while being educated. So, for example, in our last session, we talked about so much. I have told us so much. All he told us can be termed as education, because it's a body of knowledge that we received while we're being educated by Ayo. So that's the second definition. The third one says information about or training in a particular subject matter, right? Information about or training in a particular subject matter. So education can be seen as information or training in a particular subject matter. See, let's say someone is a computer scientist or a computer science student, information or should I say, training about that particular field is education in itself. The fourth one says an enlightening experience. I think we always have that here on the podcast. We always have enlightening experiences. So an enlightening experience, and that I see, personally, I see all our sessions here as classic examples of enlightening experience. When you say something is enlightening, it's like saying something is eye-opening, I should say revealing too. So basically, we have a lot of that here. So that's what education can also be, an enlightening experience. And finally, the favorite of all the definitions, my own favorite, a process of facilitating learning or the acquisition of knowledge, skills, values, morals, beliefs, habits, and personal development. I will repeat myself. A process of facilitating learning or the acquisition of knowledge, skills, values, morals, beliefs, habits, and personal development. That in itself is education. And the reason why I like this particular definition is because it's not kind of single-sided, unlike the other ones, right? The first one mentioned school or university. You don't really have to go to a school or university or maybe an institution of learning for you to get educated about something or anything. Don't necessarily have to go. So that's why I like this fifth definition. It's a process of facilitating learning or the acquisition, acquiring knowledge, skills, values, morals. Morals, very important. Beliefs, habits, and personal development. I have a note here on personal development. I think it's kind of really, really long, and I don't want to go there yet. So I'll leave that for probably another time. So that's basically what education is. And then what investment? I know if you ask any layman on the streets, once any random person hears investment, many people who are not into that field, they think of it as something they do to get them more money, right? At a later date. A lot of Nigerians see, when they hear the word investments, some of them think of different things, and one of the words that will come to mind is Ponzi, right? Put this one, get this one. Put 10 naira, get 20 naira. Put 1,000, get 5,000. I have done Ponzi schemes before, so it's not as if I'm saying I'm above that. I did them before, and I know what it feels like. So basically, people think of investment as that way, but investment is quite a whole lot different from that. Investment is actually an act of devoting time. Please take note of these words. Devoting time, effort, energy, or resources to a particular undertaking with the expectation of getting a worthwhile result. I'll repeat it. An act of devoting time, effort, energy, or resources, right, to a particular undertaking with the expectation of getting a worthwhile result. So basically, if, for example, someone who is single is in IELTS words last night, he said chiking. If you are chiking a lady, right, there are certain things you might want to be doing. Some people might choose to spoil her with money. Some people might choose to caress her with love. Whatever you want to do. Basically, in that sense, you are doing all that so that when you say you want to pop the big question, you expect that she's going to say yes because of what you've, let's say, the blocks you've laid previously. That in itself is a form of investment, right? You, as a person, going to school through nursery, primary, secondary, and tertiary, what have you, PhD, master, whatever you want to do, to get those certificates, right? All that time you put into the efforts to read and pass tests and exams and all that is a form of investment to get those certificates at the end, right? So you can put in time into somewhere, because when people hear investment, most people mostly think that it involves money, right? I have to put in money. I have to put in my little piece of land or my car or my phone. That's what people basically think of investment as. It's more than that. It involves your time. It could be your energy. It could be resources. It could be efforts, personal efforts, community effort, joint effort, group effort. Just because you want to get results from a particular field, right? So it could also be seen as dedication of an asset. Now, this is the more financial definition. It could also be seen as a dedication of assets or assets to attain increase in value over time. So let's say, for example, there are so many people right now going about buying MTN shares at 269 naira per unit. And they are doing that because they believe that, for example, if they buy, say, 100,000 naira worth of MTN shares, I don't know how many units that would be, over time, they are going to get growth in terms of value per share, right? And then eventually, the cumulative increase in value would also increase the amount, whatever amount they put into buying that share. So they could have their shares go from, let's say, 100,000 to, let's say, 200,000. That is positive growth anyway. It could also grow negatively and go from 100,000 to 15,000 naira. So basically, that's what investment is from the financial aspect. But a key thing we have to take from here is that investment involves sacrifice. You cannot say you are investing into something, you have to let go of something for that point in time, right? So if, for example, I want to get, let's say, another degree, or like Fortune mentioned, I already have one in the bag. So let's say I want to get another degree, let's say in computer engineering, if there's a course like that, I have to sacrifice money, the money I don't have yet, to get that degree. I have to sacrifice time. I have to sacrifice effort and other resources that will be involved into getting that other degree, right? So sacrifice is always involved, not the type of canayo sacrifice. So sacrifice is always involved. You cannot say you are doing investment without making certain sacrifices in terms of whatever investment you are putting into. And I will, from here, like to debate into the, there is this certain guy, I followed him recently on Twitter. His name is Sahil Bloom. Sahil Bloom, that is his name. You can check it out on Twitter. You can check him out on Twitter, rather. I like his posts. If you go, you see threads. But one of the threads, I was going through it, and I picked certain tweets from it. And I'll read one for us now. Prioritize people. Everything in life comes down to people and relationships. Networks compound as well as any financial investment. Build on any, that's very, very correct. No, it's not Sahil, it's Sahil Bloom. Okay, so he said, build on any network of friends, mentors, and evangelists that is deep and wide. That was what he said in that tweet. I just read part of the tweet anyway. So basically, when we talk about investments, we can also invest in people, right? It's not only about investing time, money, and all that. We can also invest in people, our relationships with them. We've covered that previously, but I wanted us to read that too. So we don't always think that investment is all about material things, about time, about money, about energy. People are also forms of investment. I would say at this point that this year I've made a lot of investments in terms of people through Fortune. As an example, I know how many people Fortune has linked me to this year. There are notable names I can call. I wouldn't call them here, but there are so many notable names I can call that personally it was Fortune who linked me to them. And I've been able to learn one or two things from those people by virtue of Fortune connecting me to them. So investing in people is also a very, very important thing, right? So there are different forms of education. You just can't say, I want to get educated. How do you get educated? How do you get to know something about a particular field of interest or study? You have to go through a particular process, right? And so that's why there are different forms of education. You have the formal education. This is the one that a lot of people, I wouldn't say we all, a lot of people go through your kindergarten. I heard they've included kindergarten. I didn't do that. You have nursery school, you have primary school, you have secondary school, you have the tertiary institutions. It could be college of education, it could be polytechnics, it could be university. and for those who go into further studies, right? But that's just the basic order of the flow of education. That's academically, you know, in terms of formal education, right? So at a certain age, children get enrolled into nursery school, kindergarten, whatever, and then they go higher up in that order to primary, to nursery, to primary, to secondary, and to tertiary institutions, right? So that's one form of education. You can get, should I say, excellence at a particular field of study this way, going through formal education. So let's say medical doctors, for example, right? After going to nursery, primary, and secondary school, they go to university, they study medicine, and they come out as medical doctors. So basically, I'm not even sure, I doubt there's any means of becoming a medical doctor without going through a higher institution, a university, right? So if you say you want to become a medical doctor, you definitely have to go through that order. That's the formal education, because you need to be taught what you are going to be doing as a doctor, right? Then there's vocational education. That's a form of education that is based or focused on direct and practical training for a specific trade, craft, or should I say, you could call it handwork, whatever you want to call it, right? That form of education, vocational, could be in form of internship or apprenticeship, right? So you could have people, for example, say, okay, I want to learn how to repair cars. So basically, that's the job of a mechanic. And you just can't wake up and say, this Lexus, the problem with this car is that the Lexus is having engine issues. How do you know that the Lexus is having engine issues? How do you know that the Lexus is having battery issues? How do you know that the Lexus has issues with electrical wiring, right? You have to go through a form of training, and I don't know what's available outside, but here you go to apprenticeship under a mechanic who knows these things already, right? So that's one form of vocational education. It could also be in tailoring, it could be in shoemaking. There are so many different lines you could get under vocational education. And then there is what we call self-learning. When I was making these notes, I came across a new word, and which is why it's good to actually make conscious efforts to try to educate yourself. I have not gotten a new word in a very, very long time, like come across a new word. And while I was making this, I came across a new word, and that new word is autodidacticism. It's actually hard to pronounce. Autodidacticism. That's basically self-learning. So what self-learning entails basically is trying to educate yourself about something or about a field of study, something that interests you probably, but you are not going through formal means. You are not going to a primary school or secondary school to get that knowledge. You also aren't necessarily going to a vocational center to get that knowledge. So you are using other means of education that are available to you. It could be friends around you. It could be the internet, which is for me a very, very good source of information. It could be books, right? It could be books. So these are ways by which we can gather knowledge through self-learning. So and I would like to focus on this, because this self-learning in itself has taught me a lot. I think earlier, some months back, I wouldn't say earlier, say probably in August or something, I and I were talking, and I was like, okay, we are in the bear season, because Bitcoin was down by a lot, probably, I don't know, maybe close to 50% of its previous price swing. So I said, we're in the bear season, and we had an argumentative discussion. It's very hard to actually win IO in an argument like that. So
when
Bitcoin eventually moved from, was it 28 or 30K, I don't know, moved to, where was it, 60 something thousand, 66 or 68,000, IO came to my DM and he started dragging me again. So he now said something which I picked from it. He said that you people just, how did he put it? He said you people just shout this and that, you don't actually know what you're talking about. So, and I started thinking about it. Why would he say that? So I decided to go and do my research. And it was in doing research, I found out that me saying Bitcoin or cryptocurrency generally was in a bear season in August was very, very wrong, because it has not happened before for a bull run year to have a bear season starting from August. It usually starts from towards the end of the year or the beginning of the next year. So I would have had that knowledge, right? In that aspect, it was definitely way better than me, because I didn't know. I was just banking on what I saw. I didn't look at history as a measure of data, for example. So I went back to do a little self-learning, and then I got that knowledge. So self-learning is also a very, very strong and important method of educating oneself, yourself, ourselves. So before I talk about how education is actually an investment, I want to give us a little statistics, right? In 2018, I got this data from Statista.com. It's always good to reference wherever you get data from. So in 2018, Nigeria counted 22.4 million children that were enrolled into public elementary schools, and then 5.5 million into private schools. I would take that these are just around figure values, not exactly to the point of number of students, right? So in total, in 2018, let's just say Nigeria was able to count 28 million children enrolled into schools, generally, that's primary schools, right? That same year, 6.8 million students were enrolled into public and private junior secondary schools, right? So let's even say 7 million roughly. So 7 million students were enrolled into public and private, because some people go to public schools, some people go to private schools, junior secondary schools. And then the same year, universities, there were 1.8 million undergraduate students, and then 242,000 postgraduate students. If you look at the order at which this data is coming, you'll see that from the lower levels, there's so many people. So many people are going to nursery schools, so many people are going to primary schools, right? Going to secondary schools, the number reduces. So basically, it's not everybody who finishes primary school that goes to secondary school. Then people go to secondary school, they do their junior WAEC and whatever, go for their senior WAEC, NECO and JAMB. And then university stage comes, and then the number reduces even more again. So in the end, let's say every year we have estimated, I wouldn't say it's up to a million, but let's say we have 1 million graduates every year from all schools, universities, or teacher institutions all over the country. Are there 1 million jobs every year? No matter how much any government can promise you, we are going to give you 5 million jobs each year, we are going to give you 20 million jobs each year, these jobs are simply not available. And to be sincere, I think the number of unofficial jobs in Nigeria is actually way more than number of office jobs you can get in the country right now. There are more SME, small and medium scale enterprises. I was doing the research on that recently in the country. That is basically people who are looking to be entrepreneurs. They are doing their own businesses. There are way more of that than the number of office jobs in the country. So how do you get an edge with education? Because you have so many graduates like myself. I'm a graduate and I don't have a job yet, but if you have employment, I'm down for it, right? How do you get an edge over other people in what field? Doesn't necessarily mean that you have to use a certificate to go from whatever institution you went to, but how do you get an edge in whatever field you want to go into is a very, very important question you have to ask yourself. So there are different ways we can educate ourselves, right? We can use reading of academic / non-academic books. Why I say academic and non-academic is because an academic material, basically, I see it as a material you go through for academic purposes, maybe for sake of getting knowledge, to get a certificate, to write a test, to write an exam. You are not just reading for reading's sake in that sense. Then you have non-academic materials, could be novels, story books. I like reading novels. Could be motivational books, spiritual books, very important. Could be inspirational books, what have you. But these books are non-academic because you don't have to say, I need to read all these books before a specific day because I have exams to write for them, right? They are books you need to gain more knowledge and insights. That's what they are. So that's one way we can educate ourselves. We can educate ourselves in institutions of learning, primary, secondary, tertiary institutions of learning. Then there are online mediums of learning. There are so many online platforms you can use to learn. And me and somebody, one of us here, we were talking recently, and he was telling about online platforms where he runs one or two courses, right? Yeah, there's YouTube too. Thank you, Bernard. There's YouTube. So that's a place for learning. So there's so much information, even on the internet, which I think should be one of the best tools of the 20th and 21st century for me, the internet. There's just so much information available there that we can utilize. There are so many online schools. I think Mike Selo has an academy that is free. You just go there and enroll for courses, take it. You're not paying anything. There's Udemy. I can't begin to think of names of different online schools. You can go there to learn, right? There is learning from people around us. Could be physically or on social media. I can see that personally, I've learned a lot from Fortune this year. So much. I can't even start listening, but I know I've learned so many different things from him. He called me some days back and he was like, no, I think he chatted me before he called me. He was like, I was supposed to have called you, guy. Or I've been busy, I didn't call you. Now, how he said the reason he was supposed to have called me was because my name, or he had already outlined that he was going to call me on his diary, on his calendar. So for that specific day, I was on the list of people he was to call for that day. And I don't that. I personally have issues carry my phone to call people. So I said, okay, I'm going to learn that from you because, again, it's good. I have uncles and aunties I've not called. I have friends I've not called in a while. And it's not because I don't have a time to call or something. It's just simply because I will say, I'm going to call, and then I end up procrastinating. So that's one thing, just one thing I've learned. And I would not say that's the least, but that's just one thing I've learned from you. So you can learn from people around you. And like you said, I've never met him physically before. I really hope to meet him because he's a very, very great person. I hope to meet him and I or two and everybody here if we can. But you don't have to necessarily meet somebody, right? Physically. You don't have to meet somebody physically before you can learn from the person. Again, I think if you miss the relationship currency session, you should go back and listen to it. It will tell you a lot of things. And then the internet, basically, yes. So you have the internet to help you learn. Now, why is education important as an investment, right? If you have certain knowledge, I'll give an example. If you have certain knowledge, it's going to help you in so many different ways. I'll give this example from a certificate point of view. I know somebody personally. He was once working in a bank, a microfinance bank. I didn't know him then. And his salary was, his salary was probably around 50 or 60,000 at that time. That was years back, probably maybe around 10 years ago or so. His salary was around 50 or 60,000. And that was what he was collecting as a staff in that bank, right? Now, when he now got a certificate, he got a particular certificate. He became a chartered accountant. That's a certificate from the Institute of Chartered Accountants of Nigeria. So he got that certificate, became a chartered accountant. By merely obtaining that certificate, the bank increased his salary to 150,000. By just obtaining that certificate, his salary went up to 150,000. Now, why did that happen? They now know that he has, or then they knew that he had more value to offer in terms of just carrying that certificate, because it's not a very easy certificate to obtain, right? So he said he was going to resign. They increased his salary to 300,000. Then they increased his salary to 300,000. Then 300,000 then is like more than 700,000 now. so that you can understand the context. A microfinance bank increased right to 0,000. He resigned. He left. If you know how much he's making a month now, I can't even tell you where he's working, right? But if you know how much he's making in a month now, and that is not even from his official place of duty, he's making so much money. I know his house here, where he's living. I've gone to visit him a few times. He's making so much money by just getting a single certificate. So that's just an example, right? So why is education important as an investment? Now, one thing basically educating yourself does is it gives you enlightenment and an edge. This same person was telling me that he was telling me about online places where he learns, because we were talking and he said that a group of people were in a place. His field of study is not on the same level as the field of study of those people. Those people are medical doctors and pharmacists and the like. They were talking, and then he was making a responsible and accurate inclusions into their discussion, right? So he was adding to their discussion, and then some of the things he was saying, those people didn't know it. So they now asked him, what did you study? Like that, he now go to interact with them on a one-on-one basis now, not in that meeting. And he earned the respect of those people just by educating himself. Now, this education now is not education he got by going to university. So basically, he has helped himself in that aspect. If probably there's a job offer, he would be eligible for it by virtue of the fact that they have seen him talk and they know this person knows something. For him to talk like this, he definitely knows something. They may not know what kind of certificate he has, right? But just because they've heard him talk, they say, this guy has something to offer. So education offers you more employment opportunities. Getting a job in Nigeria or even anywhere for that matter is not very easy. One, most of the jobs that come available once in a while, not every time. For example, now, I think customs equipment is going on, right? So most of the jobs that come available, so many people have been sitting down waiting for months, for years. They now hear that, federal establishment or so-so private company is looking for workers. Everybody runs to it. Now, here is the catch. Most of those times that you hear that job offers come out, they are not top-tier job offers. Most of the time, they are not top-tier job offers. They are just, maybe middle to lower to middle-class job offers. So many people rush towards it. You can imagine one job offer, and you have like 50 people, 100 people, and they are going to pick maybe just two people or three people. How do you get an edge? All these people are going to bring that. This one will bring his GS, this one will bring his MSc, this one will bring his PhD. This one, people just pack that and bring. Where is your own edge? Yeah. So educating yourself, right? Basically, I'm saying extending more than where you are right now, it's a way to give you a competitive edge if you find yourself in that kind of situation. Yeah, thank you very much, Naomi. It helps you distinguish yourself, right? So I once met a man, last time a family member was here, we went to see the man, and the man was telling me, he said, Victor, you are young. He said, don't pursue making money now. Pursue what will keep making money for you 30, 40, 50 years from now. And I thought about it. I looked at my current age. I looked at that projection he had made 30, 40, 50 years from now. And although the current rate, like we're talking about in our last session, that most people are being pressured mostly by themselves to make it, in that sense, to blow, to have those millions of nairas or pounds or dollars in their account and be a big boy or be a big girl. But it's easy to make money and also very easy to lose it if you cannot keep that money or make use of it wisely, right? So He said, I should not pursue money now. I should pursue knowledge. I know that that is what he was telling me. I should pursue knowledge. And then he said something. He said, normally I wouldn't share this here, but I'm going to share with us. He said that I should not go and do that thing that everybody is doing. That since everybody is doing it, one, it means that it's easy. Two, it means that if there are offers for that particular service to be used, there will be so many competitors trying to offer their own services on that particular route. So I don't get a lot of offers because some people are competing for it. And then because it's also a low-level something, when offers come, it doesn't bring in much. So he said I should look for something and then pick it up and then make use of it. Right? So that's one way to educate yourself. He now said, yeah, that's very, very true. Scarcity equals added value. Very, very true. Very, very true. Aryan. So the second thing here is that it helps you secure a higher income. I'm going to give us a classic scenario. It's very good, before I even say what I want to say, it's very good to have people who know something, who are experienced, who have gone through stages in life that you have not gone through around you, and talk to them as much as possible. Try to talk to them. Yesterday, one of them called me randomly. I didn't know who was calling. So I nearly greeted casually before I realized it was him. And then I had to greet formally and ask how the family was and all that. But basically, what I'm saying is this. If you have somebody ahead of you, the person is going to tell you certain things that you are going to be able to utilize, and it could help you save yourself time and also prevent you from making some certain unnecessary mistakes. So if you look at the average salary of a worker, a government worker, whether state, federal, or local, right? If you look at their average salary in Nigeria, it's not much. There are not too many people that are earning maybe 500,000 a month as a salary. Most people have their salary as under 100,000. Some people even under 50,000. Government workers. Now, you now look at, let's now say you are staying in a low tier place, a place that is not expensive in that sense. I'll use Lokoja as an example, right? You are staying there, and cost of living, standard of living there is not really very expensive. So you don't necessarily have to spend much. I think you can go around the whole of Lokoja in a day with probably less than 500 naira as transport fare, if that is not even too much. Say you are entering Keke from one place to another place with 500 naira, you can go around Lokoja, right? So let's say your salary is 50,000 naira. You are a married man. I'm going to start from married man. You are a married man. You have a salary of 50,000 naira. What is 50,000 naira going to do for you? If you are going to be going to work every day, assuming you don't have a car, assuming you don't have a car, right? You spend transport going to work and returning from work. Let's not say you have two children. I'm just being conservative here. Let's say you have two children, right? Your children will go to school. In my time, my break money was very small. 5 naira, 10 naira. I think the highest I received was 15 naira in secondary school. So, if as a parent you are that considerate, you give your children break money, or probably they take food flags to school, right? Those things are taking out money from your income. Remember, you are earning just 50,000 naira as a man, or even as a woman, your earning is 50,000 naira. You are going to buy food for the home, right? You are going to go to your places of religious worship. Could be your mosque, right? Could be your church. Somehow you have to give, right? Essentially, that 50,000 naira is not going to be enough. If you are paying rent, maybe yearly, you have to pull money together before you can pay that rent. Could be 100,000, could be 200,000, but you have to pay rent because you have to have a roof under your head. It's one way or another. Is that money going to be enough for you? Let's even assume that you are collecting good salary. What Nigerians term as good salary is 200,000 naira per month. What will 200,000 naira per month amount to you over a stretch of time? You will just find out that you are just doing plus and minus. Money will come into your account. Before you say that, you have some people are already in debt before they receive their payments. I will use myself as a perfect example. The only allowance, before I started service, I said I was going to save all my allowances from my first month in service to my last month. The longest allowance that stayed with me was my first month's allowance. I didn't spend the allowance for 2 months because I had some little money that I was using then. That money, I don't know how I spent it. From that time till now, nothing. I've not saved a dime. My this month allowance has not come, but that money is already finished. It hasn't come, and I'm not going to use it for anything personal. I cannot say I've even bought myself a jersey. I like wearing jerseys. I've not even bought myself a jersey, a football jersey, with 1 naira from my allowance. That is me, that is a copper. I don't have a family that I'm saying I'm going to take care of. I don't have a wife. Say, wife, we ask for money for this or money for that. I'm not saying I'm not paying school fees here to just myself. And it's already like this. So you have to have that edge that is going to help you to earn higher incomes. You can see people going into technology, learning different things that is bringing them more than what they get from, what more than what other people are getting from, saying they are doing government job or federal or state jobs or local government jobs, right? So education, educating yourself, right, can help you secure. I'm not saying we, I'm saying can. And there's a reason I'm saying that, because getting something that brings money to the table, to your pocket, to your account, consecutively over a long stretch of time, right, getting that money is not really very easy, right? Getting a job that will lead to that is not very easy. So I'm not telling that it's going to definitely do that for you. I'm telling that this is what can happen when you educate yourself, when you have knowledge upstairs. It can help you to develop problem-solving skills. Imagine somebody who is a hungry man, is thinking of his family, extended family. He has to go for this wedding. He has to feed his children. He has school fees to pay. He has to attend to the needs of his wife as a caring husband. Hiding that on 100,000 naira, and then you are comparing the person to somebody who is collecting his average income for a month is 1 million. Right? The way they will both react to situations will be different. Definitely. If you pick 7 out of 10 scenarios, you would always have like that 7 cases where the person with lower income tends to react more harshly to situations that come across them. So basically, your reactions to things will be different, right? Then it will help you to provide a prosperous and happy life. Sincerely, me, I will not lie for you. I just want to have money and enjoy my life. I just want to have money and enjoy my life, right? I want to be able to say, okay, I need to buy a new shoe today. I've not bought myself a new shoe in a very long time. And I can go and buy that shoe, right? I can attend to my needs comfortably, attend to my wants comfortably. I think that's what everybody wants. Nobody wants to be poor. Nobody wants to be a pauper. Right, we all want to have that money, but yes, a hungry man is an angry man. So we all want to have a prosperous and happy life. Educating ourselves can give us that edge. I will still talk about ways or fields in which you can educate ourselves that will give us that competitive edge that we actually need, right? And then introducing empowerment. Some people have gotten to a certain level that they have gone beyond being self-employers, that's employers of their own self, to employing people to work for them. They have gone beyond that. So why is that so? It's because they've educated themselves. I was watching a movie, a Nigerian movie. I don't like watching Nigerian movies, but I was with one of my friends recently, and we were watching that movie together. And it's a Nigerian movie, so I just want to bring out that context for me. This young guy lost his bank job and said he was going to the village to use his last money to buy a parcel of land, a piece of land, and start farming, right? So he wanted to use farming to maybe resuscitate his income since he lost his job. And here's the thing I want to draw from it. He went there, he got the parcel of land, then he started looking for somebody to teach him agriculture. Note, I didn't say farming. He needed somebody to teach him agriculture. People said, but you can employ other people to work under you. He said, yes, definitely. He will employ other people to work under him. But he wants to first learn agriculture. which is what he did. And eventually, it's a movie, so it came out well. It might not be like that for everybody all the time, but the important thing here is that he was ready to submit himself to due process, which is learning first, educating himself about what he wanted to get into. And then he was able to employ workers over time who were working for him, and he had a very, very big farm. You get. So basically, that's another thing that educating yourself can do for you, right? We are running out of time, so I would like to begin to draw the curtain to a close. What fields can you go into to educate yourself, right? What fields can you go into to educate yourself? I would not say there's any particular field and that this field is more profitable than that field, because I've not gone into all the fields, so I can't make that statement, right? But I will read another of the tweets made by Sahid Bloom, another tweet in a thread he made. He said, operate in your zone of genius. Operate in your zone of genius, right? Your zone of genius is where interests, passions, and skills align. Operating in your genius means playing games you are uniquely suited, well suited to win. I'll read it again. He said, operate in your zone of genius. So he now went ahead to define what a zone of genius is. He said, your zone of genius, right, is where your interests, passions, and skills align. Operating in your zone of genius means playing games you are uniquely well suited to win. So basically, what he's saying here, which he didn't elaborate much in that tweet, is first of all, you have to identify you yourself. You have to try to understand yourself. What do I like? What am I good at doing? Right? It's possible, it's very possible that you don't have something you're actually very good at doing, or you've not discovered it. It's either you try to discover it or you try to get something to do and develop yourself so much to the extent that you are very, very good at it. So that when they say, ah, I need somebody to do this thing, your name comes on the list of people they need for that. That's one way to look at it. Okay. I'll give an example. When they are doing construction jobs, like construction job, maybe, for example, constructing overhead bridges in a place like Abuja, right? It's not everybody that will go there and say, I want to apply for the contract. Say it's somebody that is doing bricklayer work that will now say, I want to go apply for contract. Or it's somebody that is maybe pushing wheelbarrow, carrying blocks, that will now go there to go and apply for contract to construct a bridge. No. It's people who have the experience in that field that will go there. And there won't be many. I don't know how to construct a bridge. I don't have the resources. I don't have the machinery. I don't have the equipment to do that. I don't have the manpower to do that. I don't even have the financial background or funding to do that. But people who are already into that field, we go there, right? And they will all bid for the contract. And then whoever is offering that contract out, we select a person of choice based on whatever medium of preference the person chooses, and that person gets the job, the contract to construct that bridge. And that's that. Not everybody can construct a bridge. A medical doctor cannot construct a bridge, at least not a bridge for cars and trailers to move on, right? So you have to have a zone of genius, and you need to identify it and operate in that zone of genius. So I'm not saying that if you study medicine, you are going to definitely make it in life. I'm not saying if you study pharmacy, you're going to definitely make it in life. I'm not saying if you study law, you're going to definitely make it in life. I'm not saying if you are a crypto trader or a forex trader, you're going to definitely make it in life. You have to have a certain passion for it. I know some people will say, some people have made it in life, they traded crypto, they were lucky. There's nothing like luck. It doesn't exist. You have to put in something to get a reward, which is why we define investment as sacrifice, right? So, in closing, in ending this, because I think I'm like 10 minutes more than my time, in ending this, I would read a last tweet from Sahid Bloom. I really like the guy. He said, play long-term goals. Play long-term goals. Life is the ultimate long game. Those with long-term preferences play it more effectively. They happily delay instant gratification to allow compounding work its magic. In a world of people seeking instant gratification, this is a meaningful edge. I'll make a summary of this and repeat it, and then I would say thank you very much. Now, what he was basically saying is, one, you should not be thinking about what do I get now. Okay, let's say I'm going to go to crypto. If I buy this coin now, that is assuming you are even buying a good coin though. If I buy this coin now, let me just get 30%. Ah, almost $30 just like that. I wish down to whole body. Man will survive. You're not thinking of where you might be in 2 years, in 3 years, in a year, in a much longer time frame from your current time frame. You're not thinking of that. He was saying we should think about plain long-term goals, right? And then he wants us to delay. It's very difficult. I won't lie to you. Because even personally, I explained that today, this morning. Right? So it's very difficult to delay instant gratification. In fact, I'll give you an example of that. I was in a particular trade last night. I entered the trade yesterday, and it was going well. So I said, this thing is going to do well. Let me leave it. I already had plans for that morning because I was in profit, thankfully. I woke up this morning. I saw that my profit had gone by two. I said, let me leave it. This is going to move. By this afternoon, okay, I need this morning. I closed the trade. That is a perfect example of instant gratification. Now, here's the funny thing. It could be that the trade would eventually go south. I can't say that, right? But if the trade eventually goes well, my instant gratification would have cost me a lot. So that's something we should also try to take note of. And then he now said this. He said, in a world of people seeking instant gratification. So there are so many people who are after what they can get now. So many people who are seeking after that, right? So if you as a person in a world of so many people who are looking for instant gratification, you are able to successfully deny yourself instant gratification to allow compound interest to do its magic, as he said, then you have a meaningful edge. He did not say you have an edge. He said you have a meaningful edge. So I'll just read it again. Play long-term goals. Life is the ultimate long game. Those with long-term preference play it more effectively. They happily delay gratification, instant gratification, to allow compounding work its magic. In a world of people seeking instant gratification, this is a meaningful edge. Thank you very much. Fortune, I really appreciate this opportunity. Thank you very much.
All right. Fantastic section there from Diamond. Thank you so much, Diamond. Yeah, you've made so much sense in the past 1 hour. I mean, my notepad is filled up. I've been taking notes and all. Yeah, I mean, Diamond closed with understanding that instant gratification is something we should not pursue. Yeah, most of my students here know that I always hammer on this. Yeah, you know, I'm a tutor in technical analysis, and most of the time when you know people sign up for this course or this kind of courses, they want to, you know, start making profit almost immediately from the beginning, from the first class, even before they pay something. I tell them, look, the fact that you're paying for this course doesn't mean in the next 1 year your portfolio is going to be as large as mine, or probably you are going to be twice as rich as I am, or whatever it is. No, you can actually achieve that, but for you to achieve that, you have to put in the work. I ask so much of putting in the work. You know, there's no holy grail, like Bernard said, there's no holy grail anywhere. There's no holy grail. There's no perfect template for you to just go there and copy or you know, just replicate. No, you definitely have to put in the work. All right, even if it is so perfect, you replicating it is actually you putting in the work. So there's a lot. Yeah, thank you so much, Diamond. That you made so much sense. You made so much sense so far, and I like the fact a lot of people have been following, you know, playing long-term goals and all of that, playing long-term goals, be willing to learn at all times. Yeah, you know, I can go on and on, you know, reiterating everything you said, but I think I'll just do that for people who want to listen again to this live section. It's already a minute past 9 p.m. We were short our time. But I'll still be taking, we'll still be taking contributions, yeah. So at the beginning, we had about two people. I think we had Steven and Zach wanting to talk. Let me see if they are still here. Zach is still here, but Steven is not here any longer. Zach, if you are interested in making your point known to us, you can just signify before I go ahead and unmute you. I see Naomi is very active in the comment section, and it's fantastic, yeah. I think Naomi is like a first time participant here. I've not really seen her active here before. I don't know. But Zach, if you want to still make your point, please let me know before I unmute you. If you are not, then we'll just move on. Yeah, and any other person wants to speak, I think this is the time for you to come up. If you want to speak, you want also hear your opinion. Okay. All in all, yeah, this session has been so fantastic. Yeah, it's so fantastic. I like the fact that Diamond wasn't trying to be perfect. He also stated his mostly times when, you know, he was faulting some of these things, and that's the difference, you know, about the imprint. Yeah, we don't come here as saints, as, you know, people who have figured it out. No, we come here as people who still have things we are lacking in, and we explain to you and we make you see things from this eye. Yeah, in the part where he said when people think of investment, they think of Ponzi schemes, yeah. And then he also mentioned that he has also fallen for one or two of these Ponzi schemes, if not even more. And just in fact, we fell for some of it together. Yeah, we've done a whole lot together. Yeah. We've lost money together, just so you know. It's been crazy. So yeah, we have to he willing to speak tonight. Tohib, I'll be unmuting you in a second. Okay, Tohib, the floor is yours. Please go ahead and speak. Let's hear from you.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Chief.
Can you hear me?
Definitely. Please go ahead and make your point quickly.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity, Fortune. And tonight's session, Diamond, it was good. The topic in itself, I think we were discussing something very close to it very recently, me and Diamond. Learning never stops. I think the mistake we make as a generation or as youth is that we think school or university, secondary school, we close our mind to it, that's the only education that we can get in life. But that's just like formal education. That's not the real education. The real education you get is from you taking actions yourself, not people taking the actions for you. Because most of us went to school because our parents made us go there. It's not as if we just decided to start going to school ourselves. So education should never stop. In fact, it can come from experience. I think that's another thing that could be added. Education can come from experience. That's just the piece I wanted to add.
Yeah. That's true.
All right. Thank you so much. I think Diamond had that as his fourth definition. He said education might be an enlightening experience, if I'm right here. So you see, I've been taking notes. Exactly. Thank you so much. So guys, if you missed the episode that a lot of people have been referring to, the relationship episode, relationship concept, so that's the second episode, yeah. That second episode. Please, if you miss out that episode, make sure you check out the episode. Listen to every single second episode. So much knowledge was shared there. I spoke in that episode and it was crazy. Yeah. All right. So Passionate wants to come up and speak. So I'll be unmuting Passionate. Okay, Passionate, please just make your point quickly. We are running out of time. All right. Floor is yours. Please go ahead. Floor is yours.
All right. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Passionate.
Good evening, man.
Nice to meet us all here on the imprint once again. Fortune. Please, I would like us to correct my impression. I don't think anybody coming the past two or three sessions, I don't think anybody, especially from relationship currency, I don't think anybody coming to the since then is coming to just spend 1 hour. Yeah, I would like to make it official, 1 hour. Yes, we agree. Just allow us to enjoy this. Okay, that being said, I really want to appreciate Diamond for sharing his knowledge, his vast knowledge on topics. And one thing I know about them, and that one has been a friend for, I already said that let me do the introduction today, but fortune did not allow me. If not, this for those that 30 minutes. But then that one has been someone that I've known since that one, I mean 2019. Even while I was in his 300 level. So then he's been someone that I know that he does a lot of somebody that something I need to learn from these two people, Diamond and Fortune, is the fact that they do a lot of deep research, like they do a lot of investment in them in themselves personally. Diamond is someone that's gone very far and wide in Diamond start to do this. Diamond can research for six from 12 to the next morning. He's on researching, and it's something I cannot I know what I'm saying. So, but then, and again, one thing I noticed is he's someone that doesn't like to come out to talk. We had to force him to the last. God bless you. The way he named that session was that this guy is crazy. God bless us all. We had to force him to do that thing. Nice. And that's why I was excited that he was talking today for the second time hosting a general house like this. He's always very shy too. I don't know if he's shy or he's just reserved, but he's in a way. Yeah, crazy. Okay, but going past that, the important thing I want to say is this. I think a lot of times, a lot of young people, even those that go to the university, we get this thing wrong. We get this thing about education and about schooling. We get it mixed up. Now, schooling, to me, schooling is stereotype. You are streamlined to do a particular thing. Just go. It's like going on a straight line. Going on straight line to the end. You don't cut corners. You're just on that straight line. But education is vast. Education, life is about education. The moment life generally is about learning. The moment you stop learning, you start to die. So the thing is, we see school as education, which is wrong. That's why a lot of people come out and say school is scam. Even those that do fraud, they get educated in new fraud because. We all have people in our circle that are into this modern day fraud, and you see them going to somebody's house, somebody that is ahead of them, staying there for 6 to 7 months or a year, learning under that person.
They'll be buying for
before they can even they'll work for this person. The person will teach them what your teaching knows about. Submit themselves to learning about scam. So and they come out and say, these are people that will come out and tell you that school is scam, but then they are getting education, even if it's in the wrong way. They're getting educated on how to really milk out money from people the legal way. And after they come out of those that are serious with these things, you find out that they take their time. After they come out of those things, they become even worse than those that taught them. That's they learned well. They went there, they submitted themselves to learn, they invested their time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they invested their time in learning. Do you think it's easy to stay with somebody for a year? The person gives you and throws you trash, but because you know what you are going there to get, they submit themselves and they submit themselves to the process, and they come out and they are making what they feel they are making, even if it's the wrong way, they make something out of it. So the problem that we have here, a lot of us have, is that we see school as what we call education, but not only that, life generally we get to educate ourselves, we get to keep learning every day. Some of us invest not knowing that we are investing. Some of us invest in the wrong things. And Diamond has made it clear that investment, from what we used to know about investment, is when we put 1 naira, get 30% after a month, get 50% after a year. No, but we did all of those things, all of us. We did all of those things. Uh-huh. And then investment now has been, we've come to realize that investment is not even about money alone. Investment is about everything. When you put your mind to doing something, you're investing in that thing. It might not be your physical cash. Invest in relationships, you invest in knowledge, you invest in so many things. At the end of the day, you get positive. So life itself is educative. From when you were born to the day you die, you are getting educated, because the moment you stop, you feel like you are not getting educated, then you begin to die. So I want to say thank you, and this session is lit, and we hope for more beautiful sessions to come. Thank you very much, guys.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Passionate, for your fantastic contribution. I mean, you made so much sense in less than 5 minutes. So much sense. Yeah, I really appreciate your fantastic contribution. Yeah, so moving on, I think this will be wrapping up from here. Thank you all so much for your contributions, your comment and everything. I think we'll have to put that to vote. Yeah, making this 90 minutes, 130 minutes, we'll have to put that to vote. All right. I really cannot make decisions on my own. I have a team and I have you guys. Yeah. So if I thought we didn't anything, I'll have to put that to vote and then we'll make it official. Yeah. Besides, yeah, there'll be something else we'll be putting to vote. Yeah. Next week, I'll open the poll. Sorry, tomorrow, I'll open the poll if we should have a section next week or if we should take a break for the year. All right, you know, I really cannot make any decisions on my own now that we've gotten to a stage whereby everybody is a very, very reasonable contributor. All right, so I'll put that to vote here on the poll so we can definitely decide on that. You know, majority carries the vote, obviously. Okay, that being said, I think this is where we're recording for tonight's episode. Yeah, education and investment. Basically, we've come to conclude that education is a very fantastic investment, and education is not all about, you know, the formal education we have like school and all of that. No, there's way more. Life itself is a school. Life is an enlightening experience where we learn things along the way. You know, we do not, and investing basically is not just investing, you know, in your money in something. No, it can be your time, your energy, in relationships, all right, in business, whatever it is. There's a lot you can invest in, and education is one of the biggest investments. And one fantastic thing about education is that sometimes we don't even get educated consciously. Sometimes it comes unconsciously. You know, you're just doing something, and then boom, you find out you've learned one or two things. You know,
yeah,
and then
yeah,
it just so you see, education is way beyond intentionality. Yeah, even in your unintentional moves, without you doing them deliberately, you are learning. That's why it's good. We are conscious of what we surround ourselves with, people we surround ourselves with, the content we consume, because these things form a part of us. I was seeing something somewhere about 2 days ago. I don't remember the exact statistics, but the guy talked about 20% of what you listen to, and he gave some percentage. And what he said was that 90%, you know, rounding off, he said something. He said 90% of what you educate people becomes a part of you somehow. So education also comes as you impacting knowledge in people. It doesn't always have to be you collecting. You giving out is part of you educating yourself, because you're now reiterating certain concepts yourself. And you know, the only way you learn is through action. So when you do this often, that's why sometimes I can even host a technical analysis class. I can teach technical analysis without my slides, without my notes. I just go there and teach what I know, because this thing has now become a part of me. And that's how it is for everything, every single thing that everyone has done over time, consistently, rinse and repeat. When it is over time, it becomes a part of you. Ayo can go anywhere, talk about economies, can talk about certain statistics about Nigerian government and the state of Nigerian economy and all of that. We all have these things in a different field. All right. Pekula is a writer. She can just pick up a pen and write an epistle about somebody. All right. Because this has become a part of us. This is how it is for a whole of us. Over time, when you spend time doing something, it becomes a part of it that you unconsciously even educate people about these things. All right. I think I'm starting to make this topic my own. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, you know, the content for tonight's section. Yeah. I can go on and on talking for the next 30 minutes, and I wouldn't even know. All right. So we don't know if there'll be a section next week yet. Okay. All of us will have to decide on this. I cannot make decisions myself. I'll put this to vote. All right. Until then, see you guys in the next episode. It's the weekend already. Yeah. The year is running to an end. Festive season is here. Christmas is in how many days? 9 days, if I'm right. 9 days, I guess. Yeah. Christmas is in 9 days. So, guys, I don't know how you want to spend this. But remember what I said last week. Yeah. Be very, very, very considerate about your spending. Yeah. All right. Be very, very considerate about your spending. Don't go about lavishing this Christmas. Yeah. 2022. It's definitely going to be nice for all of us, yeah, but we have to be intentional about our finances in 2022, yeah. I wish you guys a very fantastic weekend, yeah. It's the weekend, tomorrow is Friday. Have fun, rest, relax. You don't need a whole lot. You yourself, you don't try to rest, yeah. It's been a very stressful week for me included. All right, see you guys in the next episode. Do enjoy the rest of your week. Signing out here for Fortune Edwards. Cheers. Thank you.